I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is, who was, and is to come, the Almighty God. I'm so thankful for what I feel in this service and just absolutely blown away by the wonderful singing and music. I like that good old-fashioned kind of praising the Lord. And it is in order. It really is in order. I believe that's the way God designed it. When we come into his presence, the Bible says, come in with thanksgiving and come in with praise. And the whole first part of the service is us ministering to him. Amen. We are ministering to him. Because this is what God likes. This is what he desires. Just the fact that he's God makes him the object of our worship. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So when we gather in, our number one objective is to entertain and to minister to him. And as we lift our hands and sing our songs, he draws nearer and nearer and nearer. Hallelujah. And that's what we want. We want him nearer and nearer and nearer. Praise God. And then when he's near, when he is manifested in our presence, miracles happen. Deliverance happens. Salvation happens. Praise God. And I am of the opinion, the more you put into the service, the more you're going to get out of the service. Amen. Praise God. God is so good. He is moving mightily. He is stirring up, amen, the people and getting us ready because he's coming soon. He's coming soon. This life that we live is only a vapor. It's only a small window of opportunity. And we must either believe or reject him. There's no middle of the road. And we don't have a lot of time now to make up our minds. So the hour is upon us. Today is the day. You need to make a decision for yourself whether or not you're going to believe his word. I hope and pray you choose to believe and obey. Because one thing I discovered about this day, this day has never been here before, and this day will never come again. So what you do today matters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity to be here. Amen. I'm excited for what God is doing in this house. Amen. I want to invite you to go with me to the Bible. This is our guide. Now that we've ministered to him, he wants to minister to us and give us direction. I want to ask if you go with me to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at verse 25. Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 25, I'm going to read down to verse 34. Oh Lord, speak to every one of us. And the Bible reads, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his. And notice how they did it. Straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. God doesn't just want to save you. He wants to save your whole house. He wants to save your children, your mama, your daddy, your nieces, your nephews. God wants to save your whole house. So this today I want to take my thought from verse 30. Verse number 30, one more time. Verse number 30. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" My title today is that very question. What must I do to be saved? Because more than anything in this world, I want to be saved. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell to be resurrected, judged, and cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And one of the saddest things about a person being in hell is the fact that one day they're going to realize, "I didn't have to be here. God made a way, and I didn't take it." Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, the number one need of the hour is salvation. People need to believe your word. People need to take hold by faith. People need to fight the good fight. Let a spirit of obedience flow over this congregation. If there's anything, Lord, that we're not doing, we should be doing, show us and give us the grace to obey you. I pray for every man, every woman, every child in this house, Lord, that not one person will leave the same way they came in. Do a mighty work, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. 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 God bless you. What must I do to be saved? You may be seated. In the book of Acts, here in the 16th chapter, we find the great apostle Paul and Silas. They found themselves in a very strange predicament. They were in prison. The only crime that they committed was preaching the gospel. When you preach the gospel, one or two things are going to happen. Either you're going to have a revival or you're going to cause a riot. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. People are going to love you or they're going to hate you. People are going to respond positive or some folks are going to walk away negative. That's the power of the gospel. Paul and Silas were arrested, given charge to the jailer, and the jailer was responsible to make sure these two fellows don't get away. They were not only put into prison, but Paul and Silas were put into the inner prison. They were laid down into a dungeon reserved for execution. And the jailer had the job of making sure they didn't escape. Many men have suffered in the dungeon. Many have died in the dungeon. It was not a good place to be. Folks would walk by that hole. They say it was a big old hole in the ground where they just put them in. And people would walk by that hole in the ground. You could hear all kinds of sounds coming out of that pit. Screams, agony, cursing, profanity. But when Paul and Silas were put in the hole, they heard sounds coming out that hole they never heard before. They heard singing. They heard praising. I wonder, can you still praise God when you're in the valley? Can you still praise God when nothing is going right in your life? Anybody can praise the Lord when things are going good. But when your world is turned upside down and you don't know where to go, can you still praise the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says they were singing and they were praising God. And I got a feeling they weren't doing it really quiet. Amen. I believe God likes a noisy church. I believe God likes an exciting church. We're not a sleepy congregation. We're not a dead, boring congregation. But we love to praise the Lord. We love to lift up our hands and give him a shout of praise. God's been so good to us, we can't help ourselves. And the Bible says they were so loud that all the prisoners heard them. Hallelujah. And then at midnight, glory to God, strange things happen at the midnight hour. But at midnight, there was an earthquake. And the foundations of that prison were shaken. Oh, I would to God that in this service, the Holy Ghost will come in here and shake everything that can be shaken. Glory to God. I wish we had a Holy Ghost earthquake right in this building. Praise God. Some of us are too comfortable. Some of us are too casual. Some of us are too used to it. But Lord, send us an earthquake in these end times. Hallelujah. And the scriptures declare that when the earthquake came, everybody's chains were loosed. The doors came open and everybody was set free. It all started with just two. God said, I don't need a whole congregation. Just give me two people that's not scared to worship. Just give me two people that's not intimidated. All God said, if I can get two people, glory to God, this thing will be contagious. It'll begin to spread. You might come in, don't feel nothing. But when people start to praising God, it'll jump on you. Everybody got free. Everybody got loose. I wonder what that would look like this morning if everybody here just got loose. Hallelujah. The jailer was shaken up out of his sleep. He opened his eyes, dust and debris everywhere. Oh my goodness, something has happened. That's the way it ought to be in every church service. Whoa, something has happened. God has come in on the scene. He opened his eyes. The first thing he noticed, the doors were all open. He thought everybody had escaped because anybody in their right mind wouldn't stay there. Amen. If you got an opportunity to get out of prison, they would be gone. He figured, oh my goodness, they're all gone. Everybody's gone, especially those two guys. He said, oh no, I'm in trouble now because I know what's going to happen to me when they find out the prisoners have escaped. He said, that's it. I've come to the end of my rope. There's no hope for me. And rather than let them punish me, I'll just end it myself. And that jailer pulled out his sword, and he was determined to kill himself. Hallelujah. But then he heard a voice calling out of the darkness. Hold it. Don't do that. We are still here. Oh, man, I feel in the Holy Ghost. We've got people, maybe some in here right now. You feel like you're at the end of the journey. You feel like you've tried everything you could try. Every time you turn around, more disappointment, more agony. Hey, man, everything you try to do just don't seem to work. And somebody be feeling, man, if I don't get something today, this is it. It's over. I am done. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, hold on. We are still here. The church is still here. Deliverance is still here. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. Do thyself no harm. My goodness. That jailer looked up and saw they were still there. He grabbed a lantern. The Bible says he sprang into the cell. Looked at Paul and Silas, and he said, sirs. Oh, they sirs now. They sirs now. At first, they were nothing. They were nobodies. They were just crazy religious people. Hallelujah. He didn't care nothing about their future. He didn't care nothing about what they were facing. They meant nothing to him. But God has a way of changing the way you look at things. God's got a way of opening your eyes. And now he looked at them and said, sirs, got a question. What must I do to be saved? In other words, you got something that I don't have. I want what you got. Oh, saints of God, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light that's set upon a hill. We ought to have joy. We ought to have excitement. We ought to have a smile on our face that when people come in and they've been in the dark too long, they're going to look at us and say, what is it about this church? How can y'all be so happy when everything's going to pot? How can y'all be so excited when the world's messed up? I want what you have. What must I do to be saved? When I began to read this story, and I've read it several times, but you know the word of God has a way of talking to you. Amen. They call it a rhema word. That's when the word speaks to you right then and right there. Sometimes that word comes, seems like it just pops up off the page. And you read it, you'd be like, wow, I didn't see it like this before. Why does that happen? Because the word of God is a living word. Amen. And that word began to speak to me. Just that one question. What must I do to be saved? You know, I believe that is one of the most important questions anyone could ever ask. What must I do to be saved? I believe when people come into the house of the Lord, it doesn't matter what denomination you are, what background you are, or whether you ever been in church before. That should be the number one question. Hey, preacher, I don't care about how you dress. I don't care how many books you wrote. I don't care if you're on TV. I want to know one thing. What must I do to be saved? When that man asked that question, that's a loaded question. There's a lot in that question. And I begin to look at it, and certain things begin to pop up to me. Certain implications were in that one question. And I'm going to deal with just a few of the implications that stood out to me. Number one, the man asked the question implies that that man knew he wasn't saved. He knew he wasn't saved. Why would a saved person ask that question? What must I do to be saved? He knew he wasn't saved. And that's one of the problems we face today in this world. Everybody think they saved. Nobody goes to hell anymore. You hardly hear any preaching on hell anymore. Amen. Everybody's good. Everybody's okay. Everybody's saved. That's a lie. Amen. Everyone is not saved. But the deception is so powerful in our world. Just because somebody say, oh, he's in a better place. That don't mean he's in a better place. When last time you went to a funeral and the preacher said, old Joe didn't make it? You ain't going to hear that. You're not going to hear that. Amen. When you see the fruit of their life and you've known how they live and you know they didn't live for God. But people try to make themselves feel better. Make it more acceptable to their spirit. So they lie to themselves. Even preachers be on the pulpit lying at funerals. And telling the congregation, don't cry, this is a celebration. I'm like, what? How can this be a celebration when you know by the fruit of their labor, they didn't make it? But the common word in religiosity is, you can't judge. You can't judge. Yes, I can judge. I've got a Bible that I've already laid it out. Except you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. That's for everybody. And folks don't want to accept it. Folks don't want to believe it. But it doesn't matter. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one church. There's only one way you can be saved. And it's according to what's written. Has nothing to do with how you feel. Has nothing to do with what you think. And we got this religion. I said religion has just about destroyed the truth. A lot of religious people, but they're not saved people. And so we try to make things easy to handle. For instance, we don't have funerals no more. They're not funerals anymore. It's a homegoing celebration. People don't die. Die? He ain't dying. He's transitioning. Amen. It's not a graveyard. It's a memorial garden. We're trying to make ourselves feel better. We're trying to make ourselves accept it better. But it doesn't change the truth. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. You're either in the church or you're not in the church. Come on, we need to wake up and recognize, where are you? Where are you? Where are you right now? Do you know where you are? This man knew he wasn't saved. And we got people in the pulpit on television lying to the multitudes. You're saved, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved. Everybody's saved. Not according to the Bible. Amen? Amen? This man knew he wasn't saved. The second implication was he knew it was possible. It was possible. What must I do to be saved? He recognized there's a possibility that I can be saved. But wait a minute, you are wicked. You're despicable. You're evil. People have died at your hands. You've escorted people to the executioner. You're the worst form of human being there is. But God. Hallelujah. He is well able to cover your sin. He's well able to forgive you of your sin. He's well able to make you, hallelujah, a brand new creature. There is no sin so bad that the blood of Jesus can't wash you. Somebody say, it's possible. Oh, you can be a drug addict on strung out on drugs, but it's possible. You can be a fornicator and had all kinds of situations, but it's possible. Your life can be so messed up, but I'm here to tell somebody it's still possible. As long as you got lungs to breathe, God's air, you've got the possibility of being saved. For this purpose, Jesus came to the world to save them that were lost. Hallelujah. He came for us. We were all born in sin. There's nobody any better than nobody else. We all need the blood. We all need the forgiveness. We all need the cross. And what Jesus did for me, he wants to do for you and for you and for you. It's possible. Glory to God. People walk around with this idea that I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. Listen to what you're saying. So many times I preach and I give people an opportunity. Today is your day, and it really is. Today is your day. I'm not ready yet. Are you kidding me? What you mean you're not ready yet? I'm not ready yet to be happy. What is your problem? The devil got you so blind. You're not ready yet to be delivered. You're not ready yet to be free. You're not ready yet to have joy. What is wrong with you? You are more ready than you think you are. Something inside of you is hungry for this. Something inside of you desires this. You are ready. And today is your day. Hallelujah. The question implied he knew it was possible. Another implication came out of the question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? It implies that there's something that you must do. There's got to be something you decide. Can't nobody get saved for you but you. Can't nobody get baptized for you but you. Can't nobody be filled with the Holy Ghost for you but you. This is something you've got to make a choice of. This is something you've got to decide. Well, I don't know. So many people come to church and they sit next to their friend and they look at them and say, are you going up there? I'll go if you go. I don't know. Are you going? I don't think I'm going. Well, I ain't going either. And we're waiting for somebody else to go with us. Mm-mm. When you go through that gate, it's going to be you by yourself. It's something you've got to do. If your husband don't do it, you go ahead and do it. If your girlfriend won't do it, you go ahead and do it. If your parents won't do it, you go ahead and do it. Don't you wait for nobody else. God is calling you. God is reaching out to you. This is something you must do. Hallelujah. He didn't say, what must God do? What must the church do? What must I do? Amen. The next implication is you gotta do something. You gotta do something. And that's the problem with religion. Religion has conditioned people to come to church and don't do nothing. Just come to church. You good? Just come to church. Just show up. And that's wonderful. No, it's not. James said, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Something's required of you to do. Amen. Faith. Faith is an active word. You got to do something. Faith without works is dead. Just coming to church and sitting down and looking good ain't enough. You got to do something. Praise God. What shall I do? I'm glad you asked that question. And there's an answer. From the scripture. Hallelujah. How many want to go to heaven? Some of y'all looking at me really funny. Some of y'all looking at me like you mad at me. And it's strange, you know, because all I'm doing is telling you the truth. Well, I don't want you to get to go to heaven. I want to see you on those streets of gold. I'm trying to make it myself. I'm not telling you something that's going to hurt you. I'm not going to tell you about something that's going to disappoint you. Praise God, this is what we were created for, to fellowship with Him for all eternity. This life right here is not what it's about. It's not about this life. It's about the life to come, and it is coming. And you're going to be with Him or somewhere else. Glory to God. So what must, oh, that's another big word. What must, it's a must. There's no way getting around it. You can't cut corners on this. It can't be one way for her and another way for him. It's for all of us. And it's the same exact way. Jesus didn't give the Jews a different way of salvation and the Gentiles another way of salvation. That's not a different way of salvation for the Baptists and another salvation for the Catholics and a different salvation for the apostolics. No. We've all got to come the same way. The same way. We all got to walk through the same door. Amen. What must I do? If you don't do it this way, it's not going to work. Amen? What must I do to be saved? And then the Apostle Paul began to give him the answer. He said, number one, you got to believe. You got to believe. And people, I'm telling you, people are so cynical. People are so full of doubt. And I can't really, be against that, because the devil's been busy spreading confusion and spreading doubt with all these false prophets and false teachers and false religion. And television is full of them. And folks look at these clowns on TV and say, oh, that's the church. No, it's not. They listen to these guys on TV tell you how to be saved, and it's not even what the scripture says. They're offering you a free salvation. No sacrifice, no change, no nothing. Just come to church and say you believe. That's what they offer. And people say, well, that's what I want, because I don't have to change my ways. That's straight out of hell. The Bible says you need to repent. That means you need to make a change. You need to change the way you think. You need to change the way you act. You need to change the way you dress. You need to change your associations. There's going to be a change. Hallelujah. Paul said you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. And then he went on and began to teach them the word of God and explain what's all involved in believing. It's more than just confessing. It's more than just believing in your heart. You got to do something. Jesus said in Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Glory to God. If you believe the gospel, you must be born again. You must be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of all your sins. And he promised to fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's for everybody in this room. Amen. I want to refer to one more place in the scripture before I close. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 37, where we find this question asked again. And you know what I love about this question? It's a Bible question. It's a Bible question. And everything we do must be conformed to what is written. Not about what I feel. I just don't feel this. It ain't got nothing to do with what you feel. Well, I just don't believe in my heart. Your heart is wicked. Don't let your heart fool you. The only thing we've got is the word, and the word is forever settled in heaven. And you don't have to go to Bible college and study Greek and Latin to understand it. It's very simple. And here's the question again in this segment of the scripture. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, man, I tell you what, it can't be more clear than this. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. That should happen every service. That word of God ought to stir something up inside of you. You ought to be sitting in your chair going, ooh, ooh.
That word getting to you. That word getting to you. Hallelujah. You're not supposed to be sleeping in the chair. You're not supposed to be all comfortable and laid out. That word is a two-edged sword, and it's going to cut you in and cut you out. And if you can come to church and not feel something, something's wrong with you. I don't ever want to go to church and the preacher preaching and I don't feel anything. Oh, God, speak to me. God, show me. God, help me. Draw me, draw me, draw me. If I don't feel something, that's where I get nervous. When they heard it, they were pricked in their hearts. And I preach at congregation after congregation, and I see people all in the church, and I can tell the word is getting to you. And I can see when you start resisting it. Because some folks go to church, and they be like, oh, man, he's putting the pressure on. I don't feel comfortable. I'm going to leave. As soon as he tell people to stand, I'm getting out of here. Amen. Some of you thinking that already. First chance I get, I'm walking out the door. Other people, I see how you do when the word start getting to you. You be looking around for other people's babies. Can I hold your baby? Can I hold your baby? That ain't nothing but a trick. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm not talking about y'all. But that's what some people will do. They look for a distraction. They look for a distraction. They'll look around and start picking up stuff because they get nervous. Because they're coming down to making a decision right now. And people don't want to make decisions. A lot of folks, preacher, don't put that pressure on me. Don't put pressure on me. Listen, I will put pressure on you. Because the devil is putting pressure on you every single day. The devil never stops putting pressure. So when you come to the house of God, I'm going to pull on you. I'm going to reach for you. I'm going to compel you to believe and obey the gospel. When they heard this, what happened? They were what? They were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, here comes that question. Here's the question. What shall we do? What shall we do? Preacher, that's the question. Now, it's a Bible question, but you know what I think? Bible questions deserve Bible answers. Exactly right. I don't want to hear what you learned in Bible college. I don't want to hear what the Pope told you. I don't want to hear what Bishop Jakes wrote in his book. I want to know what's written in the word. Amen. Now the next verse, don't go there yet, but the next verse answers the question. Now before we go to the answer, I need to know, how many want to go to heaven? Amen. Now the problem with that so many times is people want to go. They really want to go to heaven. But they want to go on their terms. Amen. I want to go to heaven, but I don't see why I got to do that. And I don't feel like that's necessary. And I this and I that and yada, yada, yada. They want to go to heaven, but their way. It's not going to work. But I'm not bad as him. And I'm not bad as her. And I know I'm not perfect, but I've done some good things. None of that's going to work either. If you want to be saved, wait a minute. Before we go to the answer, I got to warn you right now. The Apostle Peter, who's going to give the answer, he wrote in his letter, it is better for you not to know than to know and walk away. You still want to know the answer? Because if you don't, you can be excused. I'm going to give you 1 second. Too late. Here comes the answer. Verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, number one, repent. Stop. You know you're not living right. You know what you're doing is wrong. You got the power to stop it.
Stop right now. I'm done with this. I'm not going to live this way no more. I've done it for all these years. All I did was mess up. I'm sick of this. I'm tired of the devil messing up my life, turning me all around inside out, and I'm tired of it. And today, right now, I draw the line. I'm done. I'm turning around. I'm turning around. God, I want your will. I want your ways. Teach me. Show me. Hey, man, guide me. Repent. You can do that. You can do that. Oh, but Brother Easter, you don't understand. I've got issues that I can't change. Don't worry about that. God said, change what you can change. I'll change what you can't change. He'll change what you can't change. Everyone say, repent. Amen. Make your mind up. I'm going to follow God. Next step, be baptized. Be baptized. Who is this for? Who is it for? Who? Every one of you. That's right. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. Every one of you. Every one of you. How are you all to be baptized? In the name of Jesus Christ. That's the way you ought to be baptized. And you're sitting in your chair right now, you're thinking, have I been baptized? When I was a little kid, I got baptized. You don't know nothing about it. And since you were baptized as a little kid, you lived for the devil ever since. That baptized don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing. You haven't even repented first. Amen. Now you got a chance to make up your own mind. Repent and be baptized who?
Everyone.
But Brother Easter, I'm a Catholic. Who?
Everyone.
But Brother Easter, I'm a Methodist. Who?
Everyone.
I'm a Jehovah's Witness.
Everyone.
I'm a Baptist.
Everyone.
I'm Latino.
Everyone.
I'm black as midnight.
Everyone.
I'm white as snow.
Everyone.
It's for every, my goodness, my... It's for everybody. This is for everybody. Glory to God. And when you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I got baptized. How was it done? What name? A lot of people don't know. Well, my pastor baptized me, so I know it must have been right. Uh-uh. You better know. Because everybody don't baptize the same way. Some sprinkle you. I've been to a place where they put people by the bathtub and stuck their head under the faucet and turn on the water. I've seen that. Or people go out to the lake and get dipped three times. Psh, psh. All kinds of ways. You need to make sure it's according to the Bible. In the name of the Father. In the name of the Son. In the name of the Holy Ghost. What is that name?
Jesus.
What is that name?
Jesus.
What is that name?
Jesus.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. It's got to be in the name. Because it's in the name where you will receive remission. The washing away, the blotting out of every sin you've ever committed. That's why when you're baptized in Jesus' name and you come up out the water, it's like being a brand new baby. Born again. Your past is erased. All your record is clear. And you got a brand new start. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. All things become new. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now you desire the sincere milk of the word like a newborn baby. And you start drinking the milk and coming to church and learning to pray. And you get stronger and stronger and stronger. Then you start getting good meat. Next thing you know, you're eating steak. And then you're bringing other people to the church. Hallelujah. Then you know why we shout and why we dance and why we rejoice. And you'll be right along with us doing it too. and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What must I do to be saved? That's what you must do. Let's stand. We're going to look at just a few more verses right after this. Verse number 39. This promise is to you, young lady. This promise is to you. It's to your children. See, God wants to bless everybody. It starts with you. All that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This is for everybody. And God said, I could start with just you. Just your lifestyle. What the next verse says, verse number 40. With many other words that he testified, exhort, saying, save yourselves. Save yourself. And that's what I'm telling you today. Save yourself. Save yourself. Save yourself. Young man, you need to save yourself. Quit playing around. Just because you come to church don't mean you're ready. You got to get serious about this. You got to get in the book and live the book. There ain't no other way you're going to make it. You're not going to make it your way. Save yourself. Amen. From this wicked untoward generation. And the last verse, verse number 41. Oh, I love this. I like this. Musicians, are you ready? You here? Listen, 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 folks. We got to do it the way they did it. The Bible was written for our example. And they that gladly.
Yes, sir.
You got to have the right attitude. Man, I'm so glad I came to church today. I've been praying about this. I've been wondering about this. Now I know. I understand it. I'm so glad. It's so, it amazes me sometimes people see the truth and they look so depressed. You mean I gotta get better? They that gladly received it. Received it. They, what? Wait a minute. Hold it. I ain't come to church for this. They resist. The Bible says receive it. Not Brother Easter. Not Pastor Cox. The Word of God. They that gladly received it, what did they do? They were baptized. They were baptized. Straightway. In the same hour. And the same day. They didn't sit there and say, well, let me come back next week. No. Same day. Let me go home and Google this. Nope. That same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow. Same day. I want this. I want it. I'll take it. I'll do it. If the word says it, I'm going to obey it. I see it now. I'm ready to be baptized. 3,000 people came up. Same day. And today God's looking at you and asking, do you want to join that crowd? Because today is your day. Bow your heads with me if you will. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. We realize, Lord, time is short. Life is fragile. We have no guarantees. Something could happen to any one of us before we even get home. People like to put it off and wait for a more convenient time. But you promised us in your word, today is the day of salvation. And right now is the accepted time. I pray for every man, woman, young person, and child under my voice. God, that you would reach them. Let them feel you reaching them. And let a spirit of obedience flow over them that they might say yes to you. Today. Hallelujah. So now, it's up to you. Now you're going to make a decision, and you will. You're going to say yes, or you're going to say no. There's no in between. I'll wait till later. You're saying no. Say yes. We have a baptistry. Oh, but Brother Easter, I didn't bring no extra clothes. They got extra clothes for you. They got clothes for you to change into right now. Everything's ready. You can have all your sins washed away. You can start over again. You can be saved when you walk out of this place. And so now I'm giving the call. I'm giving you the call. Jesus said, whosoever will, whoever is not ashamed of me, whosoever believe, come. So from where this section, anybody in this section, you see your need of being saved, you need to step out right now. Don't wait for the person behind you, in front of you, beside you. God is calling you. Step out in this section here. If God is dealing with you, and he is, you need to be saved. Step out right now. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. Would you come? Would you come? Don't let nothing hinder you. Don't let nothing stop you. This day is not coming back again. This moment is never going to return. Today is your day. You're going to make a choice. Hallelujah. We got a sister coming. Oh no. That's Jesus. She looks like she already got the Holy Ghost. But God's doing a work in her life. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Somebody else. Hallelujah. Somebody say today. Yes. Somebody say right now. Right now. Repent of your sins. Make a decision. Is that all? That's all that's coming? Is that all? Heaven and earth. That's the decision. Heaven and earth. I want to go to heaven. I can't live for just this world. Jesus is coming. There's got to be more. Let's continue to pray, church. I bind every spirit of procrastination. I bind the spirit of fear. I come against that spirit of confusion, and I command you to be loosed in Jesus' name. Would you come? Today is your day. Now is the time. God wants to touch you. He wants to save your soul. Hallelujah. Now that we have these that have come to pray, we want to ask all the church, will you join us, as many as can? I want you to pray for your family. Bring your family in your prayer. Come on, pray for your husband, your daughter, your son, people you know that need to be saved. I want you to bring them to the altar by faith. Lord, I want you to save my household. God, I want you to save the lady across the street. I want you to save the people that's in my school. In Jesus' name. Do y'all know anybody that needs to be saved? Would you come to the front and let's pray together for them? I know some people that need to be saved. I'm going to bring them to the altar right now. By the power of the name of Jesus, it can't not end with just us. God has called you to be a witness. Oh, Lord, I pray for my co-workers. Almighty God, I don't want to see nobody go to hell. I don't want to see nobody to be lost. Lord Jesus, save them, Lord. I stand in the gap between them and a burning hell, Lord. I pray for their eyes to be open. Send forth laborers into that field and let them hear the gospel. Help me to bring people to church that need the word. Oh, Lord, let me be fruitful. Help me to multiply. Hey, the hour is late. Time is running out. We need to get desperate. Jesus is coming soon. Lord, I pray for this city. I pray for this city, Lord God. I pray for all the people, Lord God, that don't know you, that don't know the way. Lord Jesus, help us, God, to be a light.
Hallelujah. Let their hearts be open. Let their hearts be sensitive. Save today. Save them today. Draw them unto you. Remove every barrier. Remove every excuse. Ah, hallelujah. I must be saved. In the name of Jesus. And now be filled again with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has called you to be a witness, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Would you begin to speak in tongues right now? Let that language flow through your being in the name of Jesus. Loose your tongue. Let the Holy Ghost flow through you right now. Fill me with the light. Fill me with the light. Fill me with the light. Let me be a magnet that people that need you is drawn to me in the name of Jesus. I've got to be saved. They've got to be saved. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, praise God. We're going to sing this song, and as we sing this song, amen, we're going to go through the congregation and lay hands. Anybody need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Open your mouth and begin to praise Him. The Holy Ghost is coming upon you right now, even as we speak. Lift your hands and worship.